Safety has always been Miami-Dade Transit's number one priority. That's why during these unprecedented times, we continue to keep our riders and operators safe by instituting new measures, such as increased cleaning and disinfecting of all vehicles, social distancing reminders throughout the system, and requiring riders to wear facial coverings both while waiting at stops or on platforms and inside the vehicles. No matter where you need to go, ride safely with Miami-Dade Transit.
Hi, this is Natalie Lander, voice of Kinsey, Tara Branford, Stargirl, and many others. You are listening to a W2Mnet podcast. You can visit W2Mnet.com for other podcasts about entertainment, video games, sports, and wrestling. You are listening to Video Games to the Max.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of Video Games to the Max as we are talking about the Xbox Games Showcase that just ended not too long ago here. And with me to talk about it is Mr. Randy Isbell.
Hello, hello.
So, yeah, Randy, I feel like, okay, we got some interesting stuff, but overall, it's once again the same problem they have with the other show, where you don't know what's gameplay.
They've showed very, other than Halo, did they show any gameplay?
I feel like that Gunk game, maybe. Some of that other stuff is, you just don't know if it's cinematics or if that's what it's going to look like on Series X. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it's just, I don't know. Okay, we're showing off games. If that's what it, I mean, Psychonauts, I imagine that's gameplay, right? It looks like.
Yeah, you would think so.
Yeah. Like, you know, there wasn't a ton. And in some of the big games, I mean, like, okay, we don't really know when, say, Fable really start. Supposedly Fable's been in development for a while, but, like, that's all you're going to show? I mean.
Yeah, and especially for an ending thing, it's so disappointing because it's like, okay, we still have like 7 minutes left. All right, we have one more thing. We're gonna see Fable, and then you basically just see the title, and it's like, that okay? That was what we were hyping for. Like, I get it. I think part of it obviously is with all the COVID stuff going on, things are kind of just on hold for a lot of these developers. Things are gonna get pushed back and stuff. But it's like, this got pushed back anyways from when. At least from a few weeks from when E3 would have been. Right. So, I mean, at least show us something. But yeah. To their credit, they showed a lot of games. And with all of them being on Game Pass, I think this was more of a fantastic selling point for Game Pass in general. You get this, look at all these games you're going to get it eventually.
Yeah, I think that's the major thing, and I feel like they've already gone in this direction. They were, you know, wanting everybody to get Game Pass. There's, you know, we've already seen that they cut out the, where you can't buy Xbox Gold anymore for a year. They still have the 1 month and 3 month. They cut off the Series X production and the Xbox One S, all digital thing got. So, like, they're really starting to move in that direction of, we really want to push Game Pass, and we're letting you know that all these games are going to come to that thing day one. All you got to do is pay either $10 a month or $15 if you want to play them on PC and your phone. I mean, that's pretty amazing as well to be able to say, if I have a good enough phone and I happen to have a Bluetooth Xbox controller, I could play Halo Infinite on my phone. I mean, so, you know, that's something that I feel like that's where, you know, Stadia went wrong. As Microsoft as a platform, they have games ready to go, and they put Game Pass into it as well, which basically this, okay, if you wanted to do streaming, they're doing that much better. But let's just go through the games here. Halo got the most screen time. That was mm-hmm. the game that was being hyped. It was the only game that we really knew about going in. I feel like watching it as a person that grew up my parties were Halo parties. We had the system link with the Xbox. Halo 2 was that thing I got Xbox Live for. I mean, when it was first around, like, it brought back those memories, like, of, man, this is fun. This is Halo. This feels like Halo. But also, I mean, I'm not watching. I'm watching on my phone. So I'm not watching it on a big, you know, HD screen TV. But I think you can also feel that that's where the cross-gen stuff is going to start creeping in of, would this have looked a heck of a lot better if it was Series X only? And would people be more impressed by it? Or is we just shouldn't expect this huge leap in what it's going to look like? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't think we should expect a huge leap in graphics. And usually graphics don't even bug me unless they're just god-awful. I mean, the first thing that you said to me when we were messaging back and forth and watching this was, oh, I have the nostalgia feels. And that's what it felt like. Is it super over-the-top, amazing graphics? Does it look like Ghost of Tsushima? No, it doesn't. But it also doesn't look like an Xbox 360 game. I like the fact that it's a little bit more open-worldy, a lot more exploration. It kind of reminds me of like one of the first levels in Halo. The original one where, especially for back then, the world, that area just felt so big and you can just mm-hmm. explore all over the place. So expand that even more. I haven't played Halo since 3, so I don't know if he's always had a grappling hook in the last couple games, but
no.
I took notice of that. So a little bit more exploration in your shooter. So I'm interested in it, of course. I had sent Jens a message saying that it looks good, and he sends me a screenshot. He's like, this looks good to you? I'm like, I don't – the graphics are fine. It's the gameplay looks really good. Honestly, from that trailer, again, I was watching it on the mainstream, whichever – the Jeff Keighley one, and it was stuttering all over the place. I ended up having to switch to Kind of Funny, but the gameplay looked really smooth, and that's what's more important mm-hmm. to me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you got to see some new enemies, the big, it looked like a Doom-type character. I guess that's the Banished, is the big Doom-type character that now runs at you while you shoot it. That looked kind of frightening. That looks awesome for the grappling hook of like, oh, really, you're going to run at me? All right, bam, come here, and I'll just, you know, sock you one or whatever. So that, it was going to be very hard for them to go wrong with Halo. I think it's going to matter a lot about the story, and is the multiplayer going to be fun for the people that enjoy that? The grappling hook and multiplayer is going to be interesting how they pull that off without it being like overpowering, or I'd imagine it has some kind of like a cooldown. I mean, and I think it has to, or you're not, or you can just like mash that thing too much. But
I probably would.
That's what's exciting. I feel like there's already been announcements about this is going to be the Halo release, and any mm-hmm. DLC that's brought or any kind of update is just going to go straight into it, very much like a Destiny or something like that. It's a platform. It's not, all right, we're going to see a Halo Infinite 2 or Halo 7 or whatever come along in a little bit. So I know there are some people upset that apparently this is an open world and not the Halo they remember or whatever, but I think this is just a part of going into what the next gen of games is of, hey, just be real. We're getting into this service kind of thing, and why not do that with your big franchise, I guess, if you can. Mm-hmm. Right. And let me see what... I should have already had this ready to go, but... Yeah, I mean, so... After that, we got to see State of Decay 3 for like 10 seconds.
A zombie deer. You saw a zombie deer.
The zombie deer looked awesome. Looked pretty gnarly. It's State of Decay. I think it's, if you like, State of Decay 2 is pretty good. And I think that's one of those things that, again, Game Pass really helps for games like State of Decay that perhaps... It's not always like your cup of tea. It's not the game that you jump out and go, I want to pay $60 for this, but mm-hmm. you go and go, oh man, it's on Game Pass. Let me check it out. And then you enjoy it a lot more than I think you would.
That's why I love services like Game Pass or PlayStation Now. It allows you to, I'll try this. I'll give it a shot. And sometimes you fall in love with series and then you kind of fall down a rabbit hole. So yeah, it's just, again, it honestly, if this was one of the few times that they only showed a glimpse of a game, I would have been fine with it, but it was like the first of 100. So
right. That was the issue too. Like, especially like Forza Motorsport. I was surprised that's all you showed. I mean, that would have been the game to really show off.
And I'm not a super like motorsports. I'll play NASCAR Heat sometimes. But like the Forza games, the Gran Turismo games, like sometimes those are too realistic for me and just too over the top. But just like Gran Turismo for Sony, Forza is always that game that Microsoft uses as, look how gorgeous our games can look. And then it was just like, hey, we're in the garage.
Okay. Yeah. That one was a bit surprised. I thought we'd get more from Forza, considering it's one of those games you always use to show off. You know, even Sony game. I mean, maybe they learned something from the Sony presser, because we did kind of say that the Gran Turismo gameplay that they showed was kind of boring.
Right, but, that's true.
You know, I guess you see it as it's a car game. You know what it's going to be, a car game, and there you go. Something I really wish you would have seen a lot more is Rare's game Everwild. I still don't know what that game is. I feel like this would have been the time to maybe give it a little bit of an explainer. Yes, you had, I don't know her name, the representative from Rare talk a little bit and everything, but I wish I knew, you know, I kind of get what you're doing. You're in nature. You're building bonds with nature. It looks like there's a magical tinge to it and everything else, but yeah, give us, and they showed what, like a deer coming back to life or something that looked kind of weird. That's one of those things of like, this is one of those titles that I think people are kind of excited about. And I think that's what I wanted more out of this, is give me a little bit more meat to these games. Yeah, I guess I could read about them later, but I don't know.
Yeah, and honestly, hopefully with these, it goes a lot like what E3 was, where, okay, here's a hype trailer, which to me, I get annoyed by it when there's so many of them. But hopefully in the next week or two, all of these hype trailers for at least some of these smaller games will get here's a gameplay trailer now, and then here's what the game is. So, I mean, I guess that's what this whole summer is anymore, is everything is so spread out. But I love the art style of it, but I'm with you. I'm still not sure even what kind of genre this game is yet.
Yes, I mean, I'm all for keeping things a little mysterious sometimes, but I feel like there's also times where it's nice to give you more. Tell me why I think was perfect in the way it was shown. It's like the first thing you said was, well, this is another one of the games that Dota Nod makes.
Yeah, it looks the exact same. Which, yeah. I mean, again, is not a knock or anything. I enjoyed my time with Life is Strange, minus one character and the ending. But the way that it does that choose-your-own-adventure style is good. And I have no problem with them continuing that formula, because obviously it's selling well.
Yeah, it's doing well. This is not as big as the other two Life is Strange. It's only 3 chapters. Comes out this year, at least the first episode does, August 27th. You're going to play as Tyler and Allison, who are the two characters that they showed, and they apparently have some kind of supernatural bond set in Alaska. I mean, it's like, you know, it's going to explore some big themes. I like that you have games like this. It's not like a game that I'm going to go buy my system for, but it's, again, this is another game that benefits from Game Pass, that you'll have all the episodes there and you can play them when you want.
Absolutely.
Ori is getting an enhanced version, which is showing, getting the, if I ever, I don't, I'm not planning on buying a 120, FPS TV anytime soon, but if I ever get to see what that actually looks like, God, it already looks amazing just on, PC and the Xbox One. I can't imagine what that will look like, at that frame rate and everything. I mean,
that game is so good. It's only going to get better.
Yeah, and all the little issues that, you know, you had and I had with the game when it first came out, I think would be completely glossed over by just how amazing it would look.
It just shows all these games that are coming out this year and have pushed this current generation to its limits, have a little bit longer load times, a little stuttering like Ori does. Just it's all going to go away when they get put on the new systems, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, I think that's the most exciting thing you're looking at is like the frame rate improvements, the load times, all that. It's gonna like run better, so it'll make these games better just by that on its own. And then of course we get the Obsidian Triumvent, which two things we already knew about. There had already been rumors about Outer Worlds getting DLC. Mm-hmm. It looked neat. It's more Outer Worlds. I think if you enjoy that game, it's certainly there for you. Grounded, we've already seen a lot of, and it's already, it's about to come out.
July 28th is early access for it.
Right.
So a little less than a week.
Yeah, and in game preview, and I love the little shot at a Cyberpunk as well. That was funny. So, that was, if you want the biggest game this year, Cyberpunk. If you want the smallest game,
What was the game in the preview, or the, what am I thinking of? The preview event for this whole thing.
Balon Worlds?
Yeah. That one had a 90s Disney animated feature commercial vibe to it, and then Grounded had a 90s comedy trailer feel to it.
Oh, exactly. And yeah, and that Balon Worlds game that they showed at the end of the pre-show, getting Yuji Naka to come and start a new studio and make new game, and it basically felt like a Disney game that's adventure with Sonic looking characters.
Yeah,
and
I'm very sold for that.
Yeah, totally down for that game. I feel like it could have been on the main showcase as well, but I guess
it gave honestly, you a reason to watch Keeley's thing. We got to see gameplay for that one, so it didn't belong on the main show.
Avowed is Obsidian's like Elder Scrolls looking type game that I'm sure has a ton of people excited for that already. And, you know, why not? I mean, Obsidian's known for making great RPGs. So, you know, I feel like this is another one of those. I'll have to wait and see more on that, because I think this one's a bit far away.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But definitely, I mean, at least getting the like, right there at the beginning, first person, the sword in one hand, the magic in the other hand, you know what you're getting, and I think that's what you want from an Obsidian game, and I guess it's cool that this is one of the fruits of being with the Microsoft team now, is you get that funding to be able to do that now. So Interior Night, which has some folks from the Quantic Dream team on it, as making As Dusk Falls, which looks like a new way to tell these story-driven games. You didn't get a whole lot about it, but I like the way it looks. It has a definite, like, really nice storybook look to it.
It's very original, but all I could do while watching that trailer was wonder how it plays. Like, do I push forward and then my character just skips along? or do I just click on something and then that plays out? I like that the characters kind of move in like a stop motion, like you're turning the page kind of stuff. And then everything around them was fluid. So it would be really interested to see how the game actually plays. But I'm interested.
Oh, yeah, certainly. I think that's the key is, will we eventually get that? I'm sure. But I do feel like it looked a lot more, maybe this one is more Series X driven because it looked a lot different than say the, Tell Me Why, like story driven thing. I was very disappointed by Hellblade 2.
You didn't care that it was in Iceland?
I mean, it's cool. It's in Iceland and everything, but like that's one of the games I thought we would get a lot more of since we saw it at, right. You know, the Game Awards. That's the game that they chose to show off the Series X with, and then okay, that's it.
I'm like, man. Do you even think that game comes out in 2021? I don't.
I think it'll get delayed because that's a lot of motion capture and everything else. Right? Like, unless you did that before.
It almost seems like. Like, they did that announcement trailer as they were starting production on that game. So I think we got a little bit.
Yeah, and there was, they did a hint of Battletoads in the Grounded game, but no Battletoads game shown here either.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
So, whoops. That's my alarm that I'm about to start working. So, yeah, one thing I think we did get a lot of, which I'm excited about because I'm very excited to finally get to play Psychonauts 2, is the awesome trailer, which getting to show off that Jack Black is going to voice one of the characters, and he's adding some music. And, of course, Tim Schafer and Jack Black together again. Never going to be mad about that.
Yeah, I still need to play the first one. It looks really good. It looks like my kind of game. I'm still disappointed. It was release date was supposed to be 2020. We still don't have an actual release date for this thing.
Yeah, I would have thought with how much or how long they've been working on this game,
right,
that you would already have a release date for it and everything. I mean, I don't know how much there was a delay in
right
when Microsoft decided to take it over, but Tim Schafer kind of just makes it seem like, oh yeah, Microsoft just came to us and said, hey, you want a bunch of money to make a game and be part of it? Or, like, you know, keep making your game? And Tim Schafer's like, well, yeah. So, I think the, I guess the one that maybe people didn't expect is Stalker 2. Of course, this has been in development for a while as well. You know, and it's, like, been a PC series for the most part, so, like, getting this on console is pretty awesome. It's very akin to, like, the Metro games. So if you're down with that, then I'm sure there was excitement for there as well. And, yeah, the Warhammer game as well got shown off. It's a four-player co-op game. Speaking of being able to play with people, you get Tetris Effect connected.
Yeah, that looked really cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always down for having a Tetris game, and this looks like it is going to be a launch game. Got the holiday 2020.
Yeah, so from I looked it up after, because I told you when it was happening. I just bought this on the PS4 finally. I've been wanting it forever, and it went on sale on the PS4, so I bought it yesterday, along with a game that Jens and I are talking about playing for our podcast. But I was like, oh, I just bought this, and now we have this multiplayer thing I'm going to have to buy. But I guess, so it's a holiday release date for Xbox, and then PlayStation gets it as a free update in the summer of next year. So I didn't waste money, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, well, and I'm sure that they'll, yeah, like you said, it'll come eventually, but it is like, I think it's just a thing to be able to say, just like Dragon Quest, right? Of, oh, this is a series that was on PlayStation. This is a series that was on this, and it's finally coming to Xbox. It's nice for them to say. Is it a big deal necessarily? Not really, but
the multiplayer looks really fun, though.
Yeah.
I'm curious what they're going to do with it.
Okay. Let's see. Well, we move on from Tetris to just something called The Gunk from Image Inform, which, of course, they're the SteamWorld game makers, and this also has a little bit of that, like, SteamWorld, like, exploration, wonder, and it's weird because the gun that he has is, like, just soaks up everything. So it's like, are you just trying to, like, solve puzzles and, like, take away this, like, toxic sludge? Like, what are you doing? I think that's kind of neat. We'll see how it goes. I liked it. It looks like a little bit of, like, Super Mario Sunshine, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know why, but when the trailer first started, I was getting Jet Set Radio vibes. Not like gameplay, but just the art style from it. But yeah, it's one of those games that it looks interesting, but I know very little about it. It's a lot like, which game were we just talking about? The Everwild. I'm like, I don't know the game type yet, so we'll see, but to be determined.
No, definitely. And then it's like, well, they did an indie studio announced like a Jet Set Radio successor like a couple of days ago that looks almost exactly like it as well. So I forgot what they called it. But yeah, that I agree with you. There's that, like, those, like, colors and everything kind of look like that. I'm kind of intrigued. We'll see. I'm sure we'll see more of it as time goes along. The medium looks like it's going to be a launch game. It's due holiday 2020. Of course, this is one of the big games that I felt like was something to take out of that original showcase that they showed. And it looks even better. They showed you the two sides of what it's like in the real world, and I guess in the like ghost world or whatever. That's a game I'm excited about. I'm not always like big into the survival horror, but this game just works. I like the mystery and everything around it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be playing this one for sure. It looks really good. Like you said, the two different worlds thing, kind of Silent Hill-y. Graphics look great. Gameplay looks fun. I'm in. I'm very sold on that game.
Phantasy Star 2 Online getting new content. That's cool. Of course, Microsoft has really been behind this game. They've been the ones, like, you know, promoting it and everything. So cool that Phantasy Star 2 Online is getting more stuff. Not for me. I don't have time to play a big old MMO or whatever, mm-hmm. but yeah. And then Crossfire X, which is made by Remedy. So, and Smilegate as well. So that should be interesting just because anything Remedy makes is pretty awesome mostly. Again, it's one of those where like cinematics, don't know what's gameplay, what's not, but we'll see.
Yeah, so I don't know much about it, but it's a old multiplayer game on the PC that Crossfire X is now the single player campaign to that world. So, all right, we'll see.
Yeah, and then of course Fable, which had some of the comedy that you're used to from Fable in the trailer, and because you saw the elf get eaten by the frog, and that's kind of all you got, you know. Mm-hmm. So again, a little bit just disappointment of, man, if they would have shown some gameplay just to see what it was like, what it's gonna do, because last time we saw Fable was that like dungeon master game, that 4v1 game
or something.
Yeah, Fable Legends. Yeah, yeah. That never eventually came out.
And I love the fact that you get on the internet after this and they go, "Fable stole the show." No, it didn't.
It's the last thing you saw. It
showed you a title. It's like Skyrim 6 or Elder Scrolls 6. Sorry, a couple years ago. That does nothing to me. You know that game's coming. So them just showing you a screen of, yes, it really is coming. It's like, honestly, yes, you need something to be hype, and you started with Halo, you needed something to end it, and I guess the medium wasn't big enough to be able, I mean, that's a game I'm excited for, but that's not your show ender. So you need something there, but I am getting really sick of, here's a title screen. It's like, just wait a year. I would much rather them go the Nintendo route with Paper Mario and going, it's out in 2 months. You've never heard this was coming, but it's out in 2 months. Then here's the title screen. See you in 3 years.
Yeah. Or, I mean, I do appreciate the whole, like when it is like a year away, maybe, you know, like what Nintendo did with the Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne, where it's like, okay, it's coming 2021. All right. That's cool. I think it's fine when it's, you know, it's something, but I feel like that's the thing is if you didn't have Fable, then people would be like, oh my God, where's all the Microsoft franchises? Like, mm-hmm. where is this game? I mean, we still have some games that you're going, where's this game at? But I think Fable was the one that, like, you know, is being worked on. Where is it? And there's a lot of Fable fans out there. It's that Microsoft, you know, RPG franchise that I think a lot of people have been wanting to come back. And knowing it's there and you finally get to see something out of it, I think it's not bad either. I think when you're starting a console, having things like that is not bad. I think it's when it gets, like, when Switch did it for, like, Metroid Prime 4, right. And then we still don't know anything, and then you hear that, oh, they had to go back to the drawing board because it was not great. It's like, that's when you hate seeing these nameplates. Or, like, Elder Scrolls 6, it's like, yeah, we gotta make Starfield first. Like, okay, so what, we're never seeing it then? Like, so
we just wanted people to get hyped because they were upset at us for Fallout 76 and said, look, we're making these other games, we promise.
Yeah, I feel like it's okay right now, but we'll see. My issue with this was more of, yeah, you showed off games. Yeah, you showed off stuff that's going to come, but I also don't feel like, I don't think that I mean, Halo had me feeling the nostalgia or whatever, but there was nothing that made me go, I want to buy an Xbox now.
Right. No, I'm the same way.
And that's my thing. Is like, I guess I could say the same thing for like PS5. There was nothing that made me go, oh my God. I mean, maybe Horizon. And that's what I'll give it credit. I guess you could say the same thing for Horizon and Halo. The big two games got something, mm-hmm. right? But it's just, that's kind of the thing of, I guess, so far I feel, I don't feel like I need a rush to buy a PS5 or a Series X right now.
Yeah, like, but I will say I've complained a lot that we didn't see gameplay. We didn't see this. Hopefully in the next week or two, like I said, some of these games start coming out with gameplay trailers. I guess it's these companies trying to find that happy medium, because they come out and they show, like Ubisoft would come out years ago and show 20 minutes of gameplay for something in the middle of their press conference, and all of us would fall asleep. Even though the games are good, it's like, okay, we get it. But then it's like, okay, here's just a cinematic trailer. Okay, but what's the game like? So it's them trying to find that happy medium. Again, keeping it just an hour is nice. We saw over 20 games. All of them will be on Game Pass, so give them credit there. I just hope that some of these games that we have questions about in the next couple weeks or month get their own standalone trailers that get dropped, because, again, not everything has to be shown in just this one event. I guess this could be used as the teaser for everything else. So in the end, I kind of complained a little bit about not seeing a lot of gameplay, but as long as we see gameplay soon, I think I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I think overall you got a lot of, like, the major Microsoft franchises that have been around for a while. You got to know that they're coming, and I think that's kind of important as well. You know, like, they did mention, okay, you didn't get to see all of our studios today. We're going to have something else later. It looks like in August for Gamescom or whatever. So, you know that's coming. But what you did see, I think, well, you can, miles may vary on whether it was enough or not, or the one game that you're hyping out the wazoo, maybe it didn't. And I think that's the thing too, right? Is we'll see how much this cross-gen thing is really going to wind up hurting Microsoft. Is it going to be enough for Microsoft to, okay, we're not going to lock you out of your console that you have right now for a while, but our games may not look as great as they'll look on the PS5. Is that going to be okay for you?
Well, so here, I guess it's based on philosophy. If we go into next gen and say whoever sells the most consoles wins the next generation, I think Microsoft's in trouble, because that's not their strategy at all. Their strategy is, we bought all these game studios, we're going to come out with a ton of fantastic games that you can play on Game Pass, and we're going to give you so many different ways to get the Game Pass that's where Microsoft is going to make all of their money, is with their Netflix-style Game Pass stuff that you can get on your computer, on your phone, on your... How many of the games that they show today will Xbox have available on the Xbox One to be able to play on Game Pass, even if they come out in 2021? So I think theirs is just, we want as many people possible to buy our Game Pass so they can play all of these games, and we will take your $15, $20 a month from everybody instead of a portion of you buying a $400, $500 system once.
Yeah. And that's what it feels like they're going into. It's just the major theme out of what I got here, like you said, is we are trying to push Game Pass. Why? Because we're the first one doing it, right? If Nintendo and Sony do it after, well, it's now you're copying Game Pass, right? Now you're, and not only that, right? Sony's only, as far as we know, right? Sony's only offering it on the PS5. Nintendo is only offering it on the Switch or whatever, Switch 2 or whatever comes after that. Microsoft is offering it to you in a lot of different ways. Now, obviously, you have to have a PC that is going to play the games well enough, right? But you know, to be able to say that it can stream down to your phone and work well, then that's a win there too. You know, yeah, will they eventually add that streaming technology to the PC as well, so you can play it on like Stadia, where you can play it on older PCs and you don't have to upgrade? We'll see. You know, but that's my takeaway from this is, I think you got some good stuff here. I don't think this was deplorable. I don't think this was absolutely awful. I also don't feel like there's something that just said, I love Halo, I'm going to be happy, I'm going to play Halo on my Xbox One, I'm going to play Halo on the PC, I don't think I'm going to rush out to buy the Series X because of Halo Infinite. That's the thing, is I still don't have that thing that makes me go, I want to buy the Series X right now. And maybe if you do see more gameplay of some of these games where they have those, what if they have some surprises locked away in August that we haven't seen yet. But I feel like this gameplay showcase was fine, but it wasn't anything, oh my god, you know, whatever. I still feel like Sony's was better.
Yeah, I also feel like
Microsoft learned a lot from Sony's is the transitions there. There's a lot of the, hey, let's show the console with some lights, you know? So there's that as well. All right, well, let's go ahead and do this thing. Let's give it a final rating and maybe some favorite games that you're most looking forward to here. I think overall, what do you give the show here?
Oh, it's between a B minus and a C plus for me. It was okay. Nothing terrible. It went quick. And the hour flew by. Just for me personally, not a ton of games that are my cup of tea. The medium, of course, I'm super excited about. Halo Infinite, I will probably play because I haven't played one since Halo 3. So I want to get back into that world. Grounded looked fun. And again, that game I'm blanking on, that was on the pre-show from Sega. That game. I want to play that one. So there's plenty of games in here that interest me. Nothing took up too much time. Nothing looked terrible. So B minus, C plus.
Yeah, I am of the same mind. I think I have a few more games that I'm kind of excited. I mean, obviously, I think besides Halo, I think almost everybody that's there's so many people that are Xbox fans that you're a Halo fan as well because you just identify that game with the console. But like Everworld is something I really, really want to know more about. I think Grounded, we know what it is. I'm kind of excited to play it as well, on the 28th. And, you know, Psychonauts, I'm hyped for. I want to know when that's coming out. That's a game I've been waiting for a long time. So I'm glad we got to see those. And the medium as well, like you said, have we got to see, more of that. Yeah, I think overall, I'm going to go with you as well, B minus. I do wish we, got a little bit more from some of these games and just, I think the overall, maybe it's just, we're not ready for the service is more important than the game, right? Like maybe we're just not ready for, let's give props for the fact that all this stuff is on Game Pass and, and that's the big takeaway because we're so used to just judging these things based on games and I will give them credit. They stuck to that 1 hour time frame and it was done in an hour. So they didn't make this go an hour and 30 minutes. Though again, I wouldn't have been mad if it was an hour and 30 minutes because a lot of these games got gameplay. But I guess that's also what these post shows are for, right? Like these post shows are there so that if you want more of these games and you only have an hour, like technically, you know, I did, I guess it's good for that. And you can watch those at your leisure. With these interviews with these developers and everything else. But I think overall as a show, much better than their May show.
Yes.
And I feel like you got a vibe of what Microsoft wants for the Series X now. Now I'm kind of excited for that August showcase where supposedly, you know, you might get the reveal for the Series S and some other things that, you know, you didn't talk about in this, that's more of the other little tidbits of the console and all that kind of things that we'll see. And perhaps finally get a price as well. That's important.
A price, a date, anything. Guys, can we go, please?
Yeah, okay. Can we stop, you know, playing chicken and let's get the price so people know how much they're spending?
So I know this was the first year for Jeff Keighley to run these things, and a lot of people weren't playing ball as nicely as others. And hopefully next year, as this kind of picks up steam, if he does it again next summer, it runs a little bit more smoothly. But can Jeff just get somebody from Sony and somebody from PlayStation to both show up at an event, they both hold up a card, and they both flip it at the same damn time with whatever the price is, so they're not waiting for each other. They just go, 1, 2, 3, go. let's just do that, because they're just waiting for each other. So, no, we're doing it game show style-wise. Yeah.
Regardless, I don't think anything's going to be able to compete with, if the Series S is really a lesser console, that's going to be a much cheaper than any of those consoles.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
If it's, if they somehow decided to redo it and it's now the Series X only digital, then, which I don't think it is. I think Microsoft is finally is fine with having a lesser console out there that maybe your TV is not 4K and all that powered and you're cool with that. Yeah.
It's going to be their Game Pass machine.
Yeah.
So it could come out way cheaper. It won't run as smoothly or as great, but again, they're just trying to get Game Pass.
All right. Well, I think that's it for us here. Hope you enjoyed our really fast look at everything that was announced and a little bit of talk on it. If you enjoy what you heard, we do a regular show as well, with a varying cast. It's at least once a week. Subscribe to Video Games to the Max to get the most out of that. And of course, review wherever it is that you listen. And hey, go check out Randy and Jens. They have a new show that deep dives into favorite games. They started with Last of Us Part 2. It's a terrific show. You should go listen, called Chapter Select. It's out there on all the platforms as well on W2 Network. And the next one's on Ghost, right? Ghost of Tsushima?
Yeah, it'll be on probably the first half of Ghost of Tsushima. That's a long game, especially the way Jens and I are playing it, where we are scouring every inch of that first island. So it'll be for the first half of Ghost. So if you haven't beaten Ghost by next week, don't worry, we won't have either. So just the first half of Ghost next week.
For sure. Well, until the next time, folks, thank you for listening and play some more games. Bye.
Safety has always been Miami-Dade Transit's number one priority. That's why during these unprecedented times, we continue to keep our riders and operators safe by instituting new measures, such as increased cleaning and disinfecting of all vehicles, social distancing reminders throughout the system, and requiring riders to wear facial coverings both while waiting at stops or on platforms and inside the vehicles. No matter where you need to go, ride safely with Miami-Dade Transit. Safety has always been Miami-Dade Transit's number one priority. That's why during these unprecedented times, we continue to keep our riders and operators safe by instituting new measures, such as increased cleaning and disinfecting of all vehicles, social distancing reminders throughout the system, and requiring riders to wear facial coverings both while waiting at stops or on platforms and inside the vehicles. No matter where you need to go, ride safely with Miami-Dade Transit.